This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
He is expected to play tonight against Cincinnati. So it should be Tua and Joe Burrow. But why it's big for Miami is that if you do want to cement yourself as one of the top dogs in the AFC, well, they have their chance to make their rounds here and beating the top AFC teams that were projected to be near the top of the conference before the season began, back in training camp. They've beaten Baltimore, they've beaten Buffalo, and if they have the chance to beat Cincinnati in back-to-back-to-back weeks, I think you could right now anoint Miami as the best AFC team in the conference. Now, for Cincinnati, why it's so important, I've made the comparison before that Miami feels a lot like Cincinnati of last year. They've got an up-and-coming quarterback. I'd still take Joe Burrow over Tua Tagovailoa, but Tua has been great this year. Tua's got two elite weapons in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Sound familiar? Joe Burrow, last year, up-and-coming young quarterback. Two elite weapons, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. You can throw in Tyler Boyd as well. Now, the difference between these two teams is Miami actually has an offensive line, and Cincinnati doesn't, and didn't last year. I would take Miami's pass rush over Cincinnati's pass rush this year. I would take Miami's secondary over Cincinnati's secondary. So all signs tonight point to Miami being able to win this game and moving to 4-0. But back to the point of statement games, I would put the pressure right now far more in Cincinnati's favor than it would be in Miami. Even if I believe Miami can win tonight, Cincinnati needs this one a hell of a lot more. If Miami loses tonight to Cincinnati, that's a loss to a team that was supposed to be good. Though they haven't been great through three games, I don't think many people would bat an eye when we look back 10 weeks from now and go, man, that was a brutal loss for Miami and Cincinnati. However, for Cincinnati, if you look back 10 weeks from now and go, they beat Miami, who now I expect to be a postseason team or a playoff-bound team. Cincinnati can look much better 10 weeks from now. Now, it depends where they are in the standings, but you could use one of those wins as a resume builder. And resume builders don't really matter in the NFL. You win games, you'll make the postseason. It's not like college where you beat a ranked team. Looks better to get you to a better bowl game. But you'll get more confidence from it when you talk about resume builder in the NFL. Cincinnati, to me, has been one of the more disappointing teams through three games. A win tonight over the red-hot Dolphins means that they're right back in the thick of it. And because it's so early, they're not the only team that struggled so far, but I think we all expected with their early part of the schedule that Cincinnati would be 3-0 at this point. The Steelers are going to be terrible this year. The Jets are going to be terrible this year. Who knows where the Cowboys end up, but I think the Cooper Rush Cinderella story will come to an end at some point once they play a more prominent team in the NFC and not the New York Giants, who were more so of a fraudulent 2-0. I get they beat Cincinnati, but right now Cincinnati is looking fraudulent themselves. How much can you buy into the first 3 weeks of the NFL season? That's the main question here. When you look at every single team, right? The Giants are 2-1. The Broncos are 2-1. And they have the same record as the Chiefs and the Bills. How much do we buy into the fact that all those teams are equal? You wouldn't buy in at all. How much of the fact do we buy in that the Bears have a better record than the Bengals? I would say right now I take Cincinnati in a heartbeat. Joe Burrow's thrown for more yards in one game than Justin Fields has thrown for in three games. The NFL is so unique and different with that, is that you'll have teams with hot starts. The Jaguars have been one of the more impressive teams, but I still think in the back of our minds we're going, I don't think Jacksonville's still going to be an 8-9 win team, because eventually the NFL catches up to you. Now with this these teams tonight, it feels like the NFL could catch up to Cincinnati. And what I mean by that is if you fall to 1-3 and your lone win is the Jets, it's not panic time, but it may be lower your expectations time. that this Super Bowl hangover is really a big-time thing. It is a true thing that happens to teams, and especially to teams that weren't supposed to be there in the first place. Everybody in Kansas City was worried about a hangover season after they won the Super Bowl in 2020. In the regular season, the Chiefs went 14-2. That's not the hangover, and they got back to the Super Bowl. But that's also the difference, is because the Chiefs in both those years were expected to get to the Super Bowl. Cincinnati was not expected to get there. And it does cause the hangover when you put so much effort and you used so much of the magic last year, the luck that you needed to get to the Super Bowl, and that does run out from time to time. And then the next year, when you have that expectation, things don't come as easy. The Bengals last year, if you would have told fans at the beginning of the year that they would win more than 10 games, they would have signed up immediately. Because the expectation was what? 7-8 wins? Making the postseason would have been a dream come true for Cincinnati Bengals fans. And they got it done, and they did more than that. They got to the Super Bowl. But when you lose in that matter, it's why fans and national media talking members, talking heads, whatever you want to call them, they say how important it is for teams to capitalize on a Super Bowl appearance. Not a Super Bowl window, a Super Bowl appearance. Because we've seen over the course of the NFL season, NFL history, really good teams, really good quarterbacks make it to the Super Bowl and then lose it and then never return. Or you see somebody like Aaron Rodgers, who won way, way back over a decade ago. And you think in that moment, man, this is the first of many for Aaron Rodgers. Hasn't been back since. Hasn't won one since. That's just the NFL. Mahomes won his second year as a starter. His second year as a starter. And you're thinking in that moment, he'll easily win two or three in the next 5 years just because of that's how good the Chiefs are. He hasn't won one since. It's difficult to do that. And we think just because you make the Super Bowl or you're a Super Bowl contender, it should be a year-in, year-out type of thing. You are competing in the AFC title game. You are going to the Super Bowl, just like New England did in the dynasty with Tom Brady. It doesn't work out that way. And that's why with Miami, I could see them riding that same type of magical season like Cincinnati had last year. And right now, when you look at it, they would be a Super Bowl contender by some of the AFC standards through three games. I think they're a team that not many people would want to face. You have to slow down two of the top weapons and Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Tua is better than advertised. They've got a good defense, good offensive line. It comes down to can they stay healthy? Cincinnati's still a scary team, but this is tonight for me what you can look for. Is Miami the real deal? Is Miami truly an undefeated team? And by all accounts, I think they are. And even with a loss tonight, depending how they lose, but if Miami were to lose, I'm not ruling out anything with the Dolphins. I still think the Dolphins are a wild card team. I think the Bills win that division once they get healthier. But Miami is a team that is going to win around 10 games. I think that's a safe bet to say with 10 games, because keep in mind, in the AFC East right now, New England is going to be the doormat, which is crazy to say today. I think New England may be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. And now Mac Jones may be out. But Miami might have a more favorable schedule to win 10 games. Cincinnati, on the other hand, if they lose tonight and they're 1-3, I'm going, all right, the three teams they've lost to, two of them, I still don't believe are going to make the postseason, in Pittsburgh, Dallas, but then I think Miami will make the postseason. Those are three teams, though, that if you would have told me at the beginning of the year, Cincinnati would have beaten them. Cincinnati would have been favored to beat them. And a 1-3 start, yeah, it's early. Yeah, it would be week four, just after week four of the NFL season for the Bengals. It takes a lot to catch up here. When you're playing in a gauntlet of the AFC, you can't afford slow starts. That's one thing we hammered in our preseason predictions here. The Chiefs last year started 3-4. I think because the AFC was more top-heavy than anything, the Chiefs had time to bounce back, and they did. They won 9 in a row before losing to Cincinnati in Cincinnati. This year, you start 1-3, 2-4, 2-5. I'm losing faith that your team could win their division, find the wild card spot, because right now the only saving grace for the Bengals is that the AFC West has been putrid. The Raiders are winless. The Broncos are 2-1 and are the most 0-3, 2-1 team in the NFL. And the Chargers are incredibly hurt right now. Joey Bosa's on the IR. Justin Herbert's playing with broken ribs. Keenan Allen's had hamstring problems. J.C. Jackson has had ankle problems. Rashawn Slater is out for the season with a bicep injury. Across the board, the Chargers aren't healthy. So the pressure is lessened for Cincinnati. The pressure's still there, but it has lessened because I think some people expected the AFC West to have, at minimum, two teams in the postseason, maybe even three. Now they'll be lucky to get two in there. Once again, I'll add, it's early. It's incredibly early in this season. They have time to turn it around. But for tonight, if you're Cincinnati, that can do wonders for you beating a Miami team that is the talk of the town right now. Everybody's on the Miami train. And rightfully so. They've beaten two very good football teams. They've beaten two very good quarterbacks. And then if you think about it with Miami, if they win tonight, three of their four wins, Lamar Jackson, right now my unanimous MVP, Josh Allen, runner-up for unanimous MVP, and Joe Burrow, who still is one of the top seven best quarterbacks in this league. Those would be three of Tua's wins. You got to start putting some respect on their name. As for Cincinnati, you get this win, you're 2-2, you're back to 500. You can take off from there. And it'll be a rocking environment tonight. It'll be the best Thursday night game we've had so far. I think with the exception of the Bills-Rams, which just is the NFL opener, you're already going to watch that in general. But this is the game we all want to watch. It is quite a step up from last week, though it was an entertaining game, a close game. It was the Steelers and the Browns. It was Mitch Trubisky versus Jacoby Brissett. Now you get Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa. Same draft, different careers to this point. And right now, going into this game, as soon as my Yahoo Sports page loads, I'll be able to give you the betting lines. And it will be 3.5 in favor of Cincinnati. Over-under will be 48.5. Kickoff will be at 7:15 on Amazon Prime at Paycor Stadium. Love that all the stadiums now just have brands. If you would have told me who plays at Paycor Stadium, I couldn't have told you.
I think Soldier and Lambeau are the
only
two.
Might be the only remaining ones.
Yeah.
And I always thought, too, when Arrowhead was renamed to GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, I thought they wouldn't utilize it as much.
Right.
Until I heard that it is said every single time on the broadcast or in the stadium. When I was at the game on Thursday night for the Chargers Chiefs, it's welcome to GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. I go, that just sounds terrible. It sounds absolutely terrible. And now it's at Mile High, where everybody in their right mind just calls it Mile High. I don't care what sponsors has their name on the front of the stadium, but you're on the broadcast and at the stadium. Welcome to Empower Field at Mile High. It's just, I get it's a money business here. And NFL teams get money from it. Sponsors get money from it. But man, sometimes you just wish that they had the same names. It's kind of like college. I like how college stadium names, unless they play in a professional stadium or they just have a sponsor sponsoring their stadium, they're usually the same ones. You have a lot of Memorial Stadiums. You have Bryant-Denny Stadium, Donald W. Reynolds Stadium, no, Bill Snyder Family Stadium, Ferret Field. That's just, to me, that's why I like college football stadiums more than I do NFL. Because NFL, though they're loud, though they're packed, I love the NFL. At times, man, I know I'm going on a tangent here with just talking about Paycor Stadium, but it loses the legitimacy and the power of that stadium. That's why I love how Soldier and Lambeau haven't changed. And hopefully they never will change, and you're not looking for a sponsor to put their name in front of Soldier Field or Lambeau Field. Keep it the way it is. Keep whatever lasting stadium names we have before all the sponsors take over and every single stadium is renamed. But again, Amazon Prime tonight, 7:15, Bengals and Dolphins, in my opinion, the best Thursday night game so far through 4 weeks in the NFL season. Marco, before we go to break, who are you going with in this one? I said Miami should be not favorited on the road here, and you get 3 points for being at home. So if this is on a neutral field, you're looking at the Bengals being a 0.5 favorite in this one. But man, Cincinnati's been disappointing. It'll be a hectic, chaotic, hostile environment in the jungle tonight. And it's weird to think about because the Dolphins would never be that team that draws that interest. But now they do have that interest. Tua is not going to be 100% coming off that head injury he had against the Buffalo Bills. But still, I think at 80-85%, that should be good enough for Tua to still have his weapons at disposal with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki. You're looking at a very close game tonight. But I got to say I give the edge to Miami. So I'll take Miami plus 3.5 tonight, and I feel pretty safe putting some money down on that. What do you say? What say you, Marco Marquez?
I am actually taking the Bengals in this one. I think a beat-up Tua is blood in the water for Miami. It's got that trap game kind of feel to it, or at least that's what you can, or at least that's what the national media is kind of calling it. Saw earlier that I think it was the Get Up all picked the Bengals to win this game. So still, you got to give Miami the respect that they deserve. 3-0, they got weapons on that side, but if Tua is hurt and is playing and is I think playing hurt is just going to be a big factor in this one. And like you said, this Bengals team desperate to get back in the winning ways, trying to build their first winning streak of the season. It's at home. I think it's their night to do they cover? I think so. I think they win by 4 in this one. 4 or more.
One more thing I'll say on this. Man, oh man, do I hope Tyreek Hill makes Eli Apple's night a living hell. An absolute living hell. And if you're wondering why I'm saying that, just go back to the comments that Eli Apple had for Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs after they won in the AFC Championship game. And if it's Tyreek Hill one-on-one and Eli Apple, I think I know who I'm going with here. And I know that there's been some ill will towards Tyreek Hill, but I think every Chiefs fan tonight, and you know what? That's why I'm not even going to hide it. I'm rooting for the Dolphins tonight. I am rooting for Tua and the Dolphins to go 4-0. And it sounds crazy because Chiefs fans and Dolphins fans have been feuding because of Tyreek Hill. I'm rooting for the Dolphins to go 4-0 tonight because I think when it comes down to it, I'd like to see Miami and Kansas City play in the postseason more than I'd like to see a rematch of Cincinnati and Kansas City. I think there's a better storyline, and I'm all about storylines. I am much more into the storyline for the future for Miami and Kansas City. All righty, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, our three keys to the game. How can the Chiefs bounce back after the loss to Indianapolis and beat Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football, regardless of whether it's played in Tampa or if it's played in Minneapolis at U.S. Bank Stadium. We'll tell you about it next on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Hey, Kansas City, this is Jack Johnson. I'm here to let you know that your favorite sportsbook, BetUS.com, is back for its 28th year of NFL action. With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers its members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including the NFL, NBA, MLB, and more. They've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots, and their live dealers are waiting for you at the tables. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they'll walk you through setting up your account. Nobody in the industry gives you better bonuses than BetUS. Join now and mention BetUS 2022. That's BetUS 2022, and you get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody can beat that. Head to BetUS.com and join today. That's BetUS, where the game begins. It's The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. This does tie into our next segment of Three Keys to the Game, as we do every Thursday before the Chiefs game on Sunday. And sometimes we bounce around our schedule in the week if the Chiefs play on Thursday night or Monday night. But our very own Seren Petro tweeted this out 35 minutes ago. I didn't miss this at the top of the show because we were talking about Thursday night football. But Seren Petro said, nothing official yet, but the word I'm hearing is that the NFL is in the final stages of approving the game to be played in Tampa. Should have an official word soon. So unless something drastic changes, the location for this game will not be changed. After Hurricane Ian hit the shore yesterday, and by all the videos there, it did look disastrous. This game will be continue to be played in Tampa, Florida, which is a good sign for, number one, Floridians here. I think people in Tampa, that it wasn't as disastrous as it could have been, where you have to relocate this game to Minneapolis, where it would have been a home game for the Chiefs. Now it's likely going to be stuck in Tampa. But, of course, crowd noise, I'm not going to factor that into a three key to the game, dealing with the crowd noise. But a lot of the three keys today are going to be buttoning up some things. Usually with three keys of the game, I take more of an aggressive approach. Want to see the ball thrown all over the yard, 25, maybe 26 throws in the first half. I want to see Travis Kelce be targeted 8 or 9 times in the first half. I want to see Juju get 6 or 7 targets in the first half. Like, that's the aggressive approach I at times take with three keys of the game. This week it's different because of their next opponent. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are one of, I believe, 2 or 3 teams in the NFL this year that have not scored a first half touchdown. Their defense has been phenomenal, been one of the best defenses in the NFL. Their offense has been terrible. They get Mike Evans back after he was suspended for 1 game for his fight against the New Orleans Saints. It still is a bad offense. It's an offense that's quarterbacked by a 45-year-old. And as great as Tom Brady is, this is really the first year through 3 games that we're seeing age really play a factor. Tom no longer has a elite offensive line. It's a banged up offensive line. And Green Bay last week made it difficult. And yes, they still had a chance to tie it up and send it to overtime in the final seconds of the game. Couldn't get it done on the 2-point conversion because they had to delay a game on a 2-point conversion, which almost never happens under a Tom Brady team. But nonetheless, it did. And Green Bay only needed 14 points to beat Tom Brady in Tampa. So key number one on the game, it comes down to boneheaded penalties. This offense, without any help, and when I mean flags on help there, this offense in Tampa Bay is not going to put up 24, 28, hell, maybe even 21 points if you don't gift them additional yards. And that's not just singling out unsportsmanlike penalties, taunting penalties. And I have a hunch that the Chiefs, based off what happened last week, are not going to have a taunting penalty. I'm sure that's been hammered in by Steve Spagnuolo that you cannot draw a 15-yard penalty for taunting. And when you're playing Tom Brady, believe me, the slightest dirty look, a stare down longer than half a second, anything that remotely resembles taunting, Tom Brady's going to get the call. And that's even if Tom Brady incites the taunting. We have seen 50, 60, 70 games in his career where Tom Brady will run up to a defender, scream, yell, bark in his face. That player will retaliate. Guess who gets flagged? The defender. That's the respect a longtime and great quarterback gets from officials. They protect Tom Brady. They give Tom Brady the benefit of the doubt. And they will in this game if you're not careful. You have a young defense, an athletic, a very physical defense. Don't get caught in that trap. Also, it comes down to that Tom Brady is an expert at when he sees a mismatched cornerback, the ball may not be completed, but if he sees a lot of hand fighting, jersey tugging, Tom Brady's going to throw in that direction every single time. So it comes down to technique with your young cornerbacks. And yes, L'Jarius Sneed, Rashad Fenton are still young cornerbacks. Jalen Watson's a rookie. Jalen Watson will be starting. You have guys in that secondary that are still considered young. They've played Tom Brady before. It's about being smart. And keep in mind, too, they can call holding if you're 20 or 30 yards away from where the pass is being thrown. You have to tighten it up, clean it up, button it up when you're playing a Tom Brady offense, even if it's a bad offense. The last time I think the Chiefs played a Tom Brady offense that was this bad, you go back to the Super Bowl season in 2019. They went into Foxborough. It was the last year Tom Brady was with New England. They did not have any more weapons. I want to say it was Ben Howard. What was his name? Ben Howard or Ben something was their tight end. It was not Gronkowski. They had Julian Edelman as their number one wide receiver. I'm going to pull it up now because I'm going off the top of my head. But it was a very, very scarce and sparse New England offensive unit. There was not a lot of talent anymore. And
Ben Watson?
Old man Watson. He was like 36, 37 years old. That was Tom Brady's number one tight end. So now I have their roster up here, and I'll go to that game on December 8th when the Chiefs played a Tom Brady offense that was not very good. And in this game, here were the weapons for Tom Brady. As soon as I can pull it up here. Well, it's kind of slow for me right now, but the Patriots starters, here we go. Here's what I got now. Sony Michel was his running back. Leonard Fournette will be his running back on Sunday night. Julian Edelman was the number one. Mohamed Sanu was the number two. Ben Watson was the tight end number one. That is not a great list of weapons. And that New England team had a chance to win in the end, but they only scored 16 points. So when you go into Sunday night and you're facing an offense that's somewhat similar to this, I think that Tampa Bay offense has more weapons than that 2019 Patriots team. But still, I'm not high on them because they have a immobile quarterback. They have a bad offensive line. Leonard Fournette is tough to bring down. He's a bulldozer. You slow him down and you force Tom Brady to throw the ball 35, 40 times in this game. He does not have the arm strength of a Josh Allen anymore. He never really had the arm strength in general. He does not have the arm strength of Joe Burrow. He doesn't have the arm strength of Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson. I mean, it is not going to be a pretty looking offense. It can look pretty if you're gifting them 15 yards every other play or jumping off sides or getting a dumb illegal hands to the face or illegal contact in the secondary. So that's key number one. Tighten it up, no dumb penalties. Number two, I'm sticking with the tightening up aspect here. Special teams, just don't be noticed. I want to emphasize the point of don't be noticed. What I mean by that, I don't need 30, 35, 40-yard returns. I don't need 55, 56-yard field goals. Do the easy, simple thing. Make your extra points, fair catch the punts, don't turn it over. No dumb penalties on kickoff returns where Isaiah Pacheco's returning it 7 yards deep and you get a holding call at the 8-yard line. None of that. Just don't be noticed. Don't make an impact. As crazy as that sounds, don't make an impact. It'd be great if you could, not asking for it. And that should be a simple key to the game here. Don't screw up. Be simple. Be quiet. We talk about in football of cornerbacks, guys in the secondary, when their name's not being mentioned, they're doing their job. Special teams, when they're not being pointed out, when they're not being mentioned, they're doing their job. They're not coughing the ball up. They're making easy extra points. They're making field goals inside of 40 yards. It may be Butker kicking on Sunday night. It may be Matthew Wright kicking on Sunday night. But I think it's pretty easy here to point out the fact that the special teams unit has to get better and get better in a hurry. You are playing an experienced team, a great defense. You can't have your offense backed up inside their own 15-yard line to start a drive. Tampa Bay's defense has been too good, and the Chiefs' offensive line has not been very good, which leads us to our third key to the game and our final key. Shaq Barrett, who's on the front four of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, had some choice words for the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line. Yesterday in their media, I'm trying to think of the word here. Their what do we call them?
Press conferences?
Press conferences, yes, but what was it called? The media, not media day.
Media availability?
Media availability. Thank you. Okay, that's what I was thinking of. Media availability for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday. Shaq Barrett said that this would be a coming out game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive line. A coming out party, as he said. A lot of pressure. He says, I don't see a lot of differences from the Chiefs offensive line in the Super Bowl to the one they have now. We all know it's a much better offensive line, but they're already knocking you because you haven't been good through three games. It's a massive test for this group against a stout front four. A stout front seven at that. I expect them to be cleaner. I expect them to be better. But when it comes down to it here, Marco, if the Chiefs, this is one of those opponents where the Chiefs do not shoot themselves in the foot. They play a clean game. They don't need to have their A-plus game offensively. You can win it with 24 points. Right now, I think it's more of a pick 'em, and I'm leaning in favor of Tampa Bay because of how bad the offense has been, how bad the offensive line has been. And I just, with this game likely being in Tampa, you're facing Tom Brady. Something about Tom Brady and the Kansas City Chiefs just doesn't match up. It's never been favorable for the Chiefs. I'd like to think this is a great bounce-back game. And when you lose to an inferior opponent, you always want your next team to be a great one like Tampa Bay. One that has history. One that has a Super Bowl championship in the last couple of years. Or in college, you want it to be a ranked opponent. You want to bounce back and immediately get everybody off your back. That, no, we're still a damn good team. And I think the Chiefs are a damn good team. You got to have a much cleaner game. They're better than the Colts. They're worse than the Chargers. But it's Tom Brady. So those are my three keys to the game. No dumb penalties on defense. No holding calls 20 yards away from the play. No unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. No taunting. Tom Brady will get those calls. We've seen Tom Brady get those calls. You can't even toe that line. Number two, buttoning up special teams. Don't be noticed. That's all we're asking for. Do not be noticed. Do your job. Do the simple things. Kick it out of the back of the end zone for every touchback. Don't need to return every single kick, Isaiah Pacheco. Make the extra points. Make every field goal inside of 40 yards. Should be simple enough to do, whether that's Harrison Butker or that's Matthew Wright. Certainly wasn't the case for Matt Amendola. And number three in this game, it comes down to offensive line play. You have to prove at this point that you are a top five offensive line. You haven't been to this point. Patrick Mahomes has been struggling to stand in the pocket. He's been running around. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is good enough to turn Patrick Mahomes over. Though we're going to be reaching October, that September month is now gone where Patrick Mahomes is nearly unstoppable. It's a new month now. And last year, October was a bad month for the Chiefs. You can start it off on the right foot with a victory over Tom Brady. Marco, before we go to break, any other key you want to add to this game, or maybe one you want to jump on here and just add to that point of what the Chiefs have to do with my three keys?
This one ties into your offensive line one a little bit, but the biggest thing, the only way that you really could beat Brady over the last 20 years, get to the quarterback. Pressure, pressure, pressure. And actually, you know what? It all ties in with your 3 points there. Take advantage of the hurt offensive line that is Tampa Bay. Don't get stupid penalties with a late hit.
That extend drives.
That extend drives. There you go. Exactly. Don't pressure him, but be smart about it. It's just about playing smart in this football game. And because you are the better team if you're Kansas City. They have the better off. They have the better deep. Gosh, I say that now. I'm kind of second guessing myself. just looking at the scores and how Tampa Bay's played.
It's been very ugly.
They are the better team in this, and so I think what Shaq Barrett did was more so what he said was more so possibly to motivate his defense, motivate the defense of Tampa Bay, but. Just go out there and smack him in the face, but play smart, no stupid penalties, and that's how you beat Tom Brady, is when you don't allow him to get those calls that are pointed at as favoring him, you know, make him not as special as he is out there to be on that field come Sunday. So that's really what it is. Get the pressure on him, and then all three of yours, man, it should be a blowout, but we'll just see how this Chiefs defense holds up.
And if you want to add one more bit of motivation, I was watching Skip and Shannon this morning, and one of the most blatant things I've ever heard, and this is surprising with what Skip Bayless has said before. Skip Bayless said that Patrick Mahomes is one of the worst throwers of the football he's ever witnessed.
Who said this?
Skip Bayless.
Oh, boy.
And it's kind of like him and LeBron, right?
Yeah.
No matter what he does, he's going to find it. It's a part of the shtick here. But we know with Mahomes, you find ways to shut up national media talking heads. And what's great, too, is Skip's favorite guy, his favorite quarterback, is Tom Brady. Got to be fired up for this one. If you're a Chiefs fan, we've been waiting all week. Get back on the field. Get us to Sunday Night Football. And for maybe the last time ever, we'll see Mahomes and Brady. If you're a Kansas Cityan, you're hoping that Mahomes beats the absolute blank out of the Buccaneers. Wipe away that Super Bowl loss, get back on track, and a resounding win over Tampa on Sunday Night Football in Tampa would do wonders for that. All right, we're going to take our second break. When we come back here, we'll give you our five college football games to bet on this weekend, and then we'll wrap it up with some fact or fiction. You're listening to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back, the sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that can save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto, also you can continue to dream fearlessly no matter what comes your way. Visit Kim Howard and Associates Agency at 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park, or give Kim and her team a call at 913-649-2002. That's 913-649-2002 for a quote on your home and auto insurance today. Real quickly, before some fact or fiction, let's get into some games we'd bet on college football this weekend. One teaser I want to throw out there, this is tonight. Bet on it if you want or don't. Don't really care. I may throw some money down on it, but I also may forget to because I have a busy day today after work. So South Carolina State and South Carolina, tonight at 6 p.m. on SEC Network. South Carolina State is a 39.5-point underdog against the Gamecocks, who were 2-2. Nothing, and I mean nothing, about South Carolina has been impressive this season. They beat Georgia State by 21, and they've beaten Charlotte by 36. The only two wins for the Gamecocks this year. They lost to Arkansas and Fayetteville by 14, and they lost to Georgia at home by 41. This is not a team, even though South Carolina State is not very good. They lost to UCF by 46. Their only win is against Bethune-Cookman. I feel like this is a cover for South Carolina State at plus 39.5, but that's just a teaser to throw it out there. Don't think we need to spend much time on it, but I feel like in this game, a backdoor cover may be reasonable. Calling off the dogs. And anytime you see a line that's big, that's where I kind of look at. Not free money, but favorable money. Because lines that big usually can be covered when you think about teams that may call off the dogs in the fourth quarter. Even if it's that bad, they call them off by halftime. But the first one on my list here that I told Marco was Oklahoma and TCU. The Sooners are a 6.5-point favorite in Fort Worth against the undefeated Horned Frogs. Oklahoma lost to K-State last weekend. I wouldn't say they played atrociously. Didn't play their A game, defensively speaking. TCU right now has one of the best quarterbacks in the conference, and Max Duggan, a dual-threat quarterback. TCU has been phenomenal offensively. You look at their three games. They put up 38 on the road against Colorado. They put up 42 on the road against SMU. In their only game at home, they put up 59 on Tarleton State. Now, last weekend against SMU, they shot themselves in the foot a lot. Had a couple of turnovers in the red zone. Basically allowed SMU to stay around hanging in that ball game. And SMU still had a chance at the very end. But it feels like TCU is a team that is not anything over a 6-point underdog against anybody in the Big 12 right now. And Oklahoma, still on paper, would be the best team in the Big 12. But I think I'll take the Horned Frogs plus 6.5 in this one. I think it's going to be very close. Kickoff will be at 11 on ABC. So maybe you catch Oklahoma napping. It's not the ideal scenario for TCU, because if Oklahoma won last week and they're 4-0, maybe you do catch them napping instead of them coming into Fort Worth playing pissed off after the loss to the Cats. But I feel pretty comfortable thinking this game will be close, so I will take TCU plus 6.5. What say you, Marco?
Yeah, TCU hasn't failed me once with the cover this year, and I just like them against this. Who is this Oklahoma team after watching
really?
Them against K-State?
It's tough to tell right now what the Dillon Gabriel-led Oklahoma offense is like. They're good, but how good can they really be? And now they have a chance to bounce back, and this is what we talked about with the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. You want a good team to bounce back against. TCU is that opponent. Right now, though, TCU's offense is firing on all cylinders. It comes down to maybe who can last longer in this shootout. Up next on our docket here, Alabama and Arkansas. The Crimson Tide are a 17-point favorite over the Hogs in Fayetteville. This is going to be one of the best environments in college football on Saturday. It'll be a 2:30 kickoff on CBS, SEC Game of the Week. Arkansas dropped the stunner to A&M. That was an ugly, ugly game for Arkansas. They shot themselves in the foot more than a handful of times. If it wasn't for three or four big plays, Arkansas would have won that game comfortably. Right now, though, I don't know if Alabama, after what we saw on the road against Texas, is 17 points better than Arkansas. That's a three-score win for the Crimson Tide. I'll tell you this. If Alabama wins and covers against Arkansas, they're winning the whole damn thing. It's not even close. If they drub Arkansas like that, I think there's no scarier team in the country than Alabama. So I think right now I'll take the Hogs plus 17. I think they'll lose this game by 8 to 10 points. But I just am skeptical after what I saw in Austin against Texas when it was 20-19 against the Texas team who had their backup quarterback in the second half. Alabama's not better than 17 points than anybody right now on the road, especially one that's ranked like Arkansas. So I'll take the Crimson Tide, Arkansas plus 17 in this one.
No one knows the Hogs like you do around here, so give me Razorbacks.
And they do need to step it up in their secondary. Arkansas is one of the worst pass defenses in college football, and guess what? Alabama's going to throw the ball a hell of a lot more than a lot of teams they've faced this season through 4 weeks. Up next, Oklahoma State and Baylor. The Bears are a 2.5-point favorite in Waco. I think it's kind of a pick 'em. To me, Oklahoma State is undefeated. They're 9th in the country. Baylor's 16th. So two top 25 opponents, the only two top 25 opponents playing each other in the Big 12 this weekend. I think I'm going to take the Bears on this one. I liked what I saw in Ames. That score was a little bit deceiving, so I will take the Bears to win outright here. I'll take them to cover that 2.5-point spread.
Gary Barnett came on the morning show earlier this week and took the Cowboys because better quarterback in this matchup, so poke them, baby. I'll go with the orange on this one.
And lastly, for our fifth pick, Indiana and Nebraska. Nebraska coming off the bye week. They're a 5.5-point favorite at home, over under at 60.5. Kickoff at 6:30 on the Big Ten Network. Indiana's 3-1, and they are a 5.5-point dog against Nebraska. I'm going to take the Hoosiers plus 5.5. What gives me any reason? It's so odd to me, Marco. Nebraska may be the only damn team in the country that's this bad and is still favored against Big Ten opponents. Their only loss this year, Indiana, is against Cincinnati. They lost by 21 on the road last weekend. They've beaten Western Kentucky, Illinois, Idaho. They've not been clean wins, not great wins. And their quarterback who transferred last year, Michael Penix, I think it's Penix, it might be silent though.
Yeah.
He transferred to Washington, and he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the country. So that does sting. But Nebraska's been worse than Indiana. They're 1-3. They lost to Georgia Southern, who then followed up with a loss the next weekend. I mean, it's not been pretty for Nebraska whatsoever. Their only win this year was against North Dakota. So I'm going to take Indiana plus 5.5 at Lincoln Memorial Stadium. I just don't like the Huskers at all. I don't see them covering that line. And they could win this game, but I think it's safe right now that if they do win it, it'll be under 5 points. What say you, Marco?
Just blows my mind that they're giving that many points to the Cornhuskers in this one.
Only team in the country that feels like you could do that with.
Right.
And they were drubbed by Oklahoma. Oklahoma's good, but it wasn't even close at home. And they've played, this will be their...
Were they on a bye last week?
They're on the bye. Yeah. This is their third consecutive game at home. Can Nebraska win 6 games? I have my doubts. I have some serious doubts. But let's see what happens with Mickey Joseph in only his second game as interim head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. So those are 5 games you should bet on for this coming weekend. Even one that starts tonight, South Carolina State and South Carolina. I'm taking South Carolina State plus 39.5. All right, real quickly, some fact or fiction. 5 questions, 5 takes in well under 5 minutes. Marco, fire away.
Jack, fact or fiction. Bengals cover tonight.
I'm going to go fiction on that. I took the Dolphins to win this game outright, so I think, actually, I didn't take them outright. I took them plus 3.5. So I think the Dolphins will either lose by 1 or 2 points tonight, or I think they will win in the jungle against the Bengals.
Fact or fiction, Tua throws more touchdowns than Burrow.
If the Dolphins do win, I think that would be fact. So I think Tua, though he's playing at 80-85%, I think if he throws 3 touchdowns tonight, it should be more than Joe Burrow will have for the Bengals.
Fact or fiction, Chiefs turn Tom Brady over more than 2 times Sunday.
That might be too much to ask for here. I think you'll see a turnover or two, but more than that, if it does turn into 3 or 4 turnovers for Tampa Bay, I think the Chiefs will run away with this one. But I'll go fiction, not more than 2 times against Tom Brady.
Fact or fiction, Missouri covers against Georgia.
We just talked about this. They are 0-8 against Georgia since joining the SEC. Georgia's only covered in 3 of those. The line in this game is 28.5. It's supposed to be a sold-out environment at Ferret Field. Man, I just told everybody about big spreads, right? You can backdoor cover that. Georgia is really, really dangerous right now. Unfortunately, I'm going to take the Bulldogs to cover in this one. I just don't think Missouri is playing anywhere near what they're capable of right now, and Georgia's playing at a very high level, an elite level at that, through their first 4 games of the season.
Lastly, fact or fiction, KU, K-State went outright this weekend.
I'm going to go fiction on that. That might be too much to ask for. Kansas, a 3.5-point underdog. K-State, a 7.5-point favorite against the Red Raiders at home. Somebody is not going to win outright. It just seems too much to ask for those two local teams. There is Ray Charles. So it's time to go. That wraps up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. Talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. You take it easy, Kansas City. And don't you come back no more. What you say?